welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and start this morning in an Old Testament book, Ecclesiastes. Some of you may be familiar with this passage of Scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace." And as I kind of pull out this scripture, it's obvious. The fall season, the changing of the leaves, and as we begin to see one season come to an end, another season, you know, going, into the fall here, I've just felt kind of stirred in my spirit, too, just about times and timing of things, that when we're following God and we love God, our heart's desire is to follow after Him, and we want to do the right thing at the right time, and we really want to walk in step with God and with His plan for our life. And a lot of times as we're trying to make some decisions regarding timing and things like that, we get a lot of free advice from people, and a lot of times it's well-meaning, and there can be some really good spiritual elements in it, you know. And a lot of times as you're talking about God and timing and seasons and things like that, you'll kind of hear some language or some verbiage that might sound a little bit like this: "Well, you know, I'm just waiting on the Lord." Okay? And somebody will come along and say, "Oh, no, you're not waiting on the Lord. The Lord's waiting on you." All right? And you think, "Well, I know, but I just want to guess and miss God." You know, and then you hear, "Well, the Lord can't steer a parked car." And think, "Well, yeah, but the Lord can't steer a totaled car either. If I just hit the gas and go in some direction." Right? "Well, just like the good book says, a rolling stone gathers no moss." Like, really? Give me the chapter verse on that one in particular. So a lot of times you're talking about timing and wanting to do things, you kind of get in this crossfire of a lot of strong vibes and timing and things like that. But as we see from the Word of God, there's a lot of different times. There's a lot of different contexts for time. And so this morning, my desire is to try to clear the air on some of that confusion and just talk about God's perfect timing. Because there is a timing that God has for our life, but there's different contexts of timing. You know, that little bantering, that little argument, you know, "I'm waiting on the Lord." "No, the Lord's waiting on you." They're both right. In a certain context, they're both right. But you've got to understand the context for those truths. And so this morning, we're just going to look at that. We're going to look at God's perfect timing. He's got a timing for your life, for different kind of things. But it's important to understand, what am I waiting on, and what does the Word of God say about that kind of timing, all right? So we can kind of get clear in our heart as far as navigating our walk with the Lord. And so the first timing we want to talk about that the Scripture clearly says is that there's a time to prepare, all right? We're kind of adding on to that, those different kind of times, and we're just kind of adding these contexts of time. God clearly has a time to prepare, a time of preparation. And I love to see it in light of these two scriptures put together in particular. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." That's pretty exciting. Not only have I become a Christian, but in becoming a Christian, God truly has a plan for my life. He truly has created me for good works that He's beforehand ordained that I should walk in Him. That's a real flowery way of saying, God has a plan for your life. He really does have things that He plans for you to do. But in 2 Timothy 2:20 through 22, we see another aspect of these good works. It says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, the wood and the clay, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. All right? So we see that there's something, you see in verse 21, it says, if anyone cleanses himself, in other words, this isn't something God's going to do for you, this is something you're going to do. There's something that you're going to cleanse yourself from. And what's it going to cause you to do? It's going to cause you to be sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So we see in verse 10, Ephesians 2:10, that God has prepared good works for us. But we in turn have to prepare ourselves for those good works. All right? So yeah, I got some amazing things God wants me to do. And part of it is seeing what that is. And a lot of times we get a glimpse, you know, we're praying, oh God, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation that I may know the hope of your calling. And you get some glimpses. You can almost kind of see some down the road stuff of yourself doing some things. That's that Ephesians 2:10 stuff. Good works He's ordained you to walk in. But many times before, again, you do that Ephesians 2:10 stuff, God is going to cause you to have a time of preparation where you're going to go through that 2 Timothy 2:20 through 22 stuff, where He's going to call you to begin to do some things, to lay aside some things, to cleanse yourselves from things that would trip you up. You know, that Hebrews says, it says, let us lay aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus as we're running this race. And so there will be a season where God's going to deal with you about some things that's going to help you. And we need these times of preparation. You know, if you were about to go under the knife, all right, for some operation, and you look up at that doctor and say, hey, doc, by the way, how long have you been doing this? And he said, you know, I've never done it before, but I've always wanted to be a doctor. Well, he got to Ephesians 2:10, but you want him to go through 2 Timothy 2:20 through 22. You want him to prepare himself. And God can show you some cool things in your life. But before He has you cutting on people, figuratively, you know what I mean, He's going to have you go through some preparation time. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. They'd always tell us in Bible school, preparation time is never lost time. You're just sharpening your axe. You're getting yourself more prepared. You know, that is, it's such an important part of it. I remember I was 18 years old. It was in my parents' backyard in Jupiter Avenue, Eau Claire. I'm back on this little knoll in our backyard by this bush, and I'm just saying, Lord, I answer the call to the ministry. I knew I had that call. I could see it in Ephesians 2:10. I had a call to the ministry. And 17 years later, I was able to be a part of Door of Life. You know, but even though I knew I had that call then, I wasn't ready then to start cutting on you when I was 18 years old. The Lord had some preparation. There's a lot of stuff that I went through. You even think about Jesus. He's 12 years old. He's already in the temple, going back and forth with the scholars of His day. 12 years old. And what does the Bible say? He grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. It says He learned, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, learned obedience through the things He suffered. 12-year-old boy, he's already expounding. And what? 18 years later, he steps into the fullness of the Father's call and plan for his life. We think of Jesus, we think of those 3.5 years of his ministry. That was only 10% of his life. The other 90%, he was experiencing the human condition. He was prepared for the good works the Father had ordained him to walk in. Why am I saying this? Don't feel like preparation time is just, this is kind of in my way. I just want to go ahead and do it. Again, God will show you there's times when he's just going to call you to do that. He's going to call you to something, all right? And it might feel like it's less than what you want to do right now, but there's something going on as he's calling you to do what you know is there. There's a call to faithfulness. And there's something that happens in that faithfulness. The Apostle Paul experienced it this way. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I give thanks to him who has granted me the needed strength and made me able for this, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he has judged and counted me faithful and trustworthy, appointing me to the stewardship of the ministry. The message says, I'm so grateful to Christ Jesus for making me adequate to do this work. There is something in this preparation time, a time to prepare. Again, you got those Ephesians 2:10 things. You're seeing out ahead of what he's called you to do. But there's going to be that 2 Timothy 2 season where you're just going to be preparing. You're going to be doing what you know to do, taking care of things at hand. And the thing about this is that you can't, there's no formula for that, verse 12. There's no formula. If you do this, 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 and this, he's going to enable you. It just doesn't work that way. There's a proof of faithfulness. This is really precious. God just wants to see a faithfulness in your heart. And then at some point, there's an enabling after that faithfulness. I mean, for me, you know, we were just helping out in the school. We were helping out, you know, in the school when I went to Bible school and some different levels, ushering and things like that. Then we went to a church and we helped out in church. I'd be doing altar working and different things like that and teaching some. I remember it was a new believers class. In fact, kind of an interesting story is I was getting ready to go to Bible school that year. It was 89. You know, we were launching out to Bible school. We were I was in the choir, and I just had the Lord speak to my heart because I was excited. You know, it's a two-year Bible school. When I get done with that, I'm going to tear it up. And the Lord just said, Ed, it's going to be 7 years before I begin to move you into your ultimate call. It was so clear. And it was interesting because that anxiousness, all of a sudden I just settled down. And I realized that too when I went to Bible school, because there was a lot of people in Bible school who were kind of like me. I want to get through this so I can go out and tear it up for Jesus. But when I was in Bible school, I was very relaxed. I knew there was a season of this preparation. It's like it calmed me. And I could really just listen and let things in. I wasn't trying to check a box so I could go into the ministry. I was here because God really wanted to equip me here, you know? And so I was able to relax. There's going to be seasons in your life where he just wants you to relax. He wants you to get everything that he's got for you, to let that equipping happen. And it was an amazing thing because it was actually 7 years later, 96, my pastor at the church at the time asked me if I would be willing to teach a group of new believers and disciple them. It was only about 8 or 10 people, but it was like a little micro pastorate for me. And it would literally begin to move into that area, begin to move into that direction. But this preparation time is so precious. It is important. It's not something we want to rush through. It's something that we want to get. But what did Paul say? He said, he counted me faithful and he enabled me. You know, we went to that church in 94, I guess it was. And I wasn't expecting this to happen. I'm just kind of doing my deal and helping out in the church and teaching and Bible studies in a lot of different capacities. But it was just a class. It was in November of 98. I was doing a healing school class. And I remember getting up there, and I was just, you know, going to teach my lesson. And all of a sudden, it was like there was an anointing that just hit me while I'm preaching this. And all of a sudden, it's my same notes, but all of a sudden, I'm preaching with a confidence and authority and from a place. It was like, wow, praise God. This is awesome. I experienced in a moment of time that enabling. And I couldn't go back and say, oh, because I read 3 chapters this morning and I did this. There was nothing that I could point to in my daily routine. There was no steps that I could point to. All you could do is go back and say, okay. God has basically said, it is time. But there's a faithfulness. So when you're trying to push buttons to get that to happen, you just be faithful. And God will make that happen. That I experienced that. And nobody who is at the time could probably, they didn't know what was going on in me. I'm preaching another sermon. Maybe they could tell there was a little difference. I don't know. But in me, I could tell there's something different now. There is a confidence that I have And it's not like, oh, pride and all that. That's out the door. There's a knowing that you have by the anointing of the Holy Spirit when God enables you to do something. There is a hunger and there's an appetite and there's a go-getting it. And you're not even worried about how well it looks to the other people because you know who has enabled you. You get that witness. You get that sense. So there's a preparation time that'll come up to an enabling. Also, it can take the form of this. The Apostle Paul experienced that enabling, but he also experienced this. He said, now in the church, this is Acts chapter 13, that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius, the Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up under the Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Of course, Saul is Paul, the Apostle Paul. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. Being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus, and that began the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was just minding his own business. He's just going to a prayer meeting. He was just going to minister unto the Lord. He was just being faithful. He was serving in the church in a lot of different capacities. But there came a time when the Apostle Paul got a go ye. He counted him faithful, putting me into the ministry. And it's going to be that way too. And, you know, I'm using this ministry-wise, but you can do it in whatever vocation. There's usually going to be a season where you're just going to be faithful, helping out, being supportive. And there will come a time when you're going to get that go ye. You're going to get that sense. Why is it that way? Again, why does God put us through that precious time of preparation? Because he loves us, and it's what protects us. You know, let me just say this too. Just because you go through a season of preparation, okay, doesn't mean you're never going to make a mistake when you step out and do the real thing. I mean, I've been here for almost 20 years. I've made mistakes in 20 years. I can testify. But there's a lot of mistakes I haven't made because I got prepared. There's a lot of things I've seen take people out that I saw coming down the road just because I was prepared. Because in Bible school, they said, this is going to happen, this situation. Really? Really? And you get in the ministry and go, oh, yeah, that's what they were talking about. And it can make you look like, wow, you're making some good moves, and it's just you got prepared. Praise God for preparation. Again, you're not perfect, but preparation really helps you. I mean, a doctor doesn't mean that a doctor never makes a mistake. But he's well prepared, and he doesn't make a lot of them, you know. He's doing pretty good. You know, he's somebody you can trust that has a good track record. And when you look at, you know, why God does this, I love this. He says, therefore, humble yourselves into the mighty hand of God. Be willing to go through that preparation time, that he may exalt you in due time. The message says, so be content with who you are. Don't put on airs. God's strong hand is on you, and he'll promote you at the right time. You know, that promotion comes from the Lord. And that promotion can take the form of a witness. It can be a word. It can be something that strongly witnesses to your spirit. But in the meantime, I'm faithful. There is a time of preparation. I like in Proverbs 6, the preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So I'm preparing, but then there's finally a go ye that you got from him. And you know it's him. Praise God. So what do? There are times you need to wait. You need to prepare. You need to be doing what you've got to do at hand. In other words, you're seeing that Ephesians 2:10 stuff doesn't mean you do it right now. It means you do the next thing that he's showing you to prepare you for that. Then he'll promote you. He'll enable you. He'll witness by his spirit. That's faith though, isn't it? It's faith to do it that way, but when he does it that way, then it's the real thing. It's not somebody just, you know, pretending, you know? Our kids sometimes would play dress-up clothes in the basement. My mom would have all these old dress-up clothes, and, you know, they're 5, 6 years old, and they're putting on these big gowns that are too big for them. And sometimes that's the way it is. If you jump out ahead in your Ephesians 2:10, you're kind of playing dress-up because you really haven't grown into that place. So it's important to grow up. It's okay. It's all right to take time and realize that that's what God has for you. Yeah, praise God. Just a kind of a side note on that too. There was a situation when, if you remember John Mark, he actually went with Paul and Barnabas on that. Paul on the second missionary journey, I guess it was, and he had abandoned him, and so the Apostle Paul. You know, he didn't want to take John Mark along. Barnabas wanted to take him along. They actually split up over that. But it was a situation where John Mark, he went too soon. He could see that he wanted to go on the ministry someday, and he went too soon. And Paul basically said for that second missionary journey, no, he needs to prepare. He needs to get more established here before he comes out. And then we see later at the end of Paul's life, he said, bring Mark, John Mark, he's profitable to me for the ministry. Sometimes we can have quick starts, but let me just say this. If you get out ahead of your call and you flop, it's not over, all right? It wasn't over for John Mark. He went on to write the book of Mark, you know? So it's the Gospel of Mark. So it's not over. The Apostle Paul commended him. Useful for the ministry. But it's important to realize that we go up, we get back on, and he got back into that preparation, began to work under Barnabas, and praise God, he got there. So no condemnation if you do get out ahead, all right? Just side note there. Also, not only is there a time to prepare, but there comes a time to decide. There comes a time when you've got to step on the gas. There comes a time when you do need to make a decision, okay? You might remember this story of Jesus in Matthew 14. It says, now on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And so he's in the boat. You might have kind of heard this story preached a few different ways, but that boat is kind of that place of safety. You know, you're in a solid boat. But Jesus said, he said, if that's you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. Peter heard it, and he knew it was the Lord, okay? So let's say you're back in that time of preparation, and there is an enabling. You do have a word. You know, finally, praise God, I got the word. You know, you can kind of be used to that education situation too. You can, you know, you can have the career student. You know, it's, okay, I'm learning, but you can kind of get used to this if you're not careful. And it's just like, I'm learning, but God is saying, no, it's time to go now. Now it's time to go. You know, Jesus said, come. Well, what if Peter would have stayed in the boat and said, Lord, if that's really you, bid me come. Come, Peter, come. You know, you could do that over and over and over, but at some point, when you got that witness, it's time to go. It is time to step out of the boat. It is time to put a step of faith into that new area. You know, when you're stepping on water, you're stepping where you haven't stepped before. And yeah, it's a little uncomfortable, but yet you got that witness. You got that witness to go. And so this kind of stuff, when you're talking about that time to decide, this is really when you've got that opportunity, and it's right there, you know? You know, should I go? There's the old song, should I stay or should I go? If I stay, there will be trouble. If I go, it'll be double. And you can feel that. You got to let me know. And it's... You can feel that pressure, right? It's like, oh, if I step out of the boat, I'm going to just flop and it's going to be awful and it's going to be bad. But if I don't step out of the boat, then this thing may never come by again. I might miss my opportunity, you know? And so you've got that push and pull, but yet there's going to be a step of faith. It is. You are faithful, and that's good to be faithful. But when you get that prompting, there is going to be a time that he's going to step out. The Spirit of God doesn't just give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the hope of his calling to show you stuff. The Spirit of God does something else in you too. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. So that Spirit is going to prompt you. There's going to be an energizing. There's going to be a sense. You know that this isn't little ego things. You know what it's like to humble yourself and wait for that due time. But when you sense that energizing and that go, you know, you can say, if that's you, Lord, bid me come. But after a while, you know, you got to come. There's going to be that stepping out of the boat to actually do it. And so as you're doing that, as you're endeavoring to get out of the boat, you can realize that there's going to be a few things that God does to help tune and really get you to where he wants you to go. Because a lot of times, like I said, I sense an enabling, you know, in that healing school sesh back in November of 98, I didn't go into full-time ministry the next day. I just sensed there was an anointing. There's something that I'm going forward to, all right? And so I had to respond to that. And that is something where I'm beginning to look at some things. And Julie and I were actually looking at some things. We always felt in our heart that we were going to be part of a startup church somewhere. We just didn't know. And I love what the Apostle Paul did here. Remember, the Apostle Paul is enabled. He's got the call. But here's how he's walking out. This is his second missionary journey. He said, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit didn't permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. I so love that the Apostle Paul didn't just go to Macedonia, but he had an enabling. He had a call. He knew he had to get out of the boat and go a direction, all right? Now, this isn't just hitting the gas in a blind way. Yes, you're hitting the gas, but you're keeping an ear open to the Holy Spirit at the same time. You know, I mean, when the Apostle Paul, you know, had gone to Phrygia, the region he was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go preach the word in Asia. In other words, they're going to Asia and something happened. I don't know if it was a tongue and interpretation of tongues. I don't know if it was a prophetic word. I don't know if it was just a witness. But the same Holy Spirit that enabled him was putting a brakes on him, giving him a red light. Don't go any further. Don't. Well, what if the Apostle Paul had said, hey, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm going to Asia. Paul's journey may have ended right there, you know? So there is a going, but there's a listening as you're going. And so, okay, I mean, think about the humility that this took with the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul saying, oh, sorry, guys, this isn't it. I think it's Bithynia. That's what it must be. And they get the camels and they get the mules and they get all that heading on to Bithynia. And all of a sudden, oh, the Spirit didn't permit them either. That's two red lights. They finally get the green light to go to Macedonia. But the Holy Spirit hasn't been sent to give you all green lights. The Holy Spirit's been sent to give you red lights. It's not that Paul missed it and then he got it. No, he got it all three times. You only miss it if you run a red light. He got it right all three times. He stopped at the red light, he stopped at the red light, and then he went at the green light. We're talking about a time to decide. I got enough of a witness to go in a direction. And in a practical sense, that's what you kind of get. And we'll tell our kids when they graduate high school, you got a sense, visit the campus, go on ground zero, check things out. You know, don't try to make the decision from 1,000 miles away. Go there and listen and hear, sit in on some classes. Give the Holy Spirit something to work with, to forbid or to go. There's going to be some ground game that you do in cooperating with God in preparing to find out what that next thing is that you're going to do. And that's not cheating. The apostle wasn't cheating for the Apostle Paul. I mean, this is the second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul, and it goes down this way. And in our missionary journeys and in our travels and with the Lord, it's going to be that way. There's going to be a feeling out process, and that's totally okay. It's all right to do that. So there is going to be that. You know, when I had, you know, we were just kind of at that crossroads as far as Julie and I kind of wondering what to do. I mean, I still have this sheet. This is from August 15th of 2000. And I've got all my options spelled out here. You know, start a church in Woodbury, start a church in Hudson, go to Rhema, help Paul and Dana start their church in Menominee, stay at the church we are currently at. And I remember when I was, you know, with these options that I had, is it Bithynia? Is it Asia? Is it Macedonia? One of the great words that I got when I was at this inflection point on August 15th is the Lord just said, out of all those options, he said, which one keeps coming back to you the most? Which one? Is it the one you just can't seem to get away from? There's repetition when the Lord will begin to lead you and guide you and fine-tune some things. And I thought, well, it was easy. It's help Paul and Dana. That's the one that I just really had the strongest in my heart to help them start that church in Menominee, Wisconsin. And as soon as I got that, it was like I began to write. It was like a spirit of prophecy. And as soon as I got that, it said faith building experience to pioneer, experience to preparation process of pioneering a new work, of building a children's ministry, a worship service, experience of being led by the Holy Spirit, experience of influencing a community with the gospel, experiencing new faces getting saved, building a core group of believers. This experience will be much like a third year at Rhema, although the sacrifice wouldn't be as great. The experience would be 100% applicable to that next step in ministry. This experience will be like a ministerial training wheels that will give you the confidence, the knowledge, and faith to take you to the next step in pioneering your own church, whether it's Woodbury or Hudson or wherever. Of course, it was wherever. It was Door County. I didn't know that at the time. And he said, finally, you'll be surrounded with people who believe in you. Man. It was really amazing. And then when I got that, I was like, oh, praise God. It just clicked. It was like, it was revelation then at that point, what we needed to do. And I remember I told Julie, and I just kind of recounted to Julie what the way I'm recounting to you. I said, I want you to pray about this. Let's meet back in a week and let's talk. You know, we have a wise teacher at Bible school who said, if it's God today, it's going to be God tomorrow. You know, so it's okay. And so we prayed about it for a week, and that witness got stronger and stronger and stronger. And that's kind of the other piece of this decision, is that there's, let the peace of God rule in your hearts to which you were called in one body and be thankful. Let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ's rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with all finality all questions that arise in your minds in the peaceful state as to one body which you were also called, and be thankful. There's a peace that's going to rule in your heart. It's kind of like the hot and cold game. The Apostle Paul kind of played the hot, cold game too when he decided where to go on that second missionary journey. The Spirit would prompt him, no, nope, and then witness, yes. So there is that peace. And so as it comes to that, it's important that you're led by the Spirit of God, okay? In other words, we're supposed to let the peace of God rule in our heart, not the pressure of people, all right? And when you get into decision-making, you're going to get a lot of free advice when you get into these inflection points of decisions that you got to make in your life. And people can have their own background and intention and purpose and things like that, and they can speak things, and you can feel pressure. You got to be able to feel that pressure like a red light, like the Apostle Paul felt a red light. When we went to Bible school, one of the first things that we experienced was this ad that we saw in the newspaper as far as just kind of discovering everything, and it was one of these warehouse centers that said, come to our showcase showing and get a free 35mm camera, you know, and we had no money, and it was like, wow, that's just like the end of the rainbow, that's just a gift, thank you, Jesus, a 35mm camera, we were young, so we go to that warehouse for our 35mm camera, and it's kind of, there's this little group that you're going with about, you know, six or eight people, and you're all going together, and they've got this room of furniture and all this stuff. And of course, if you buy their membership, you get everything a lot cheaper than the retail. So they'll go to a washer and dryer, you know, and she'll say, if you buy it with us, you're going to save $200 than buying it with them. That would be just like, if you were to go with them, it would be like taking $200 and throwing it in the garbage. She had a waste paper basket right there with $200. And she looked at our group and said, would that be smart? And of course, you think, well, it's a rhetorical question. But no, she waited for all of us to say, no, that would not be smart. That is so. And of course, by the time she gets to the second one and throws $300 in the wastebasket and said, would that be smart? We're all going, no, that would not be smart. No, that would not be smart. So after you go through that kind of exercise of humiliation, then they take you into a room and you get the process of interrogation. And then it's going to be, come on now. It's like, you know, you can't afford, you know, I can't afford this. And you can't afford not to do this, you know, and all of this, that kind of stuff. And, you know, we literally have a pocket full of change. That's what we have to our name. And when you've got a pocket full of change, you know, there's no such thing as an easy payment. I don't care how many months you put it over. And I was just going, can I just have tomorrow? Can I have a night to think about it? No, you can't. You got to decide now. You can feel that vibe. And it was like, in my mind, it was like, oh, man. And part of me was like, oh, phew, I know that's not God. If you can't give me a day, I got to choose now or it's over. Let the world blow up. I am not signing. You got to be able to detect that pressure from people. But now that being said, God can use people to help launch you. I mean, a big reason why I'm here today is because Julie's Uncle Denny, we were just hanging out in the car, and he said, hey, Ed, you and Julie are going to, you're going to start a church someday, right? And go, oh, yeah, someday we're going to start that church. You know, and we were all excited. And he just kind of threw it out in passing and said, you know, maybe now's the time. He didn't say, now's the time, you should be doing it. There was none of that. Just threw it out there. Maybe now's the time. He had no idea. Because when he just suggested that, it was like the Holy Spirit came in behind and said, yes, Ed. I mean, if the opportunity came today, you don't even have a resume. Now is the time. Prepare for rain. You know, prepare for those things. And it was like, oh, but he had no idea how that little casual suggestion literally changed the course of my life. And I prepared that resume, and then within a few weeks, a group from Door of Life, you know, had put an opportunity with Rhema, which was the school that I had graduated from, and we networked through Rhema. And the first thing that popped up, you know, Rhema just said, hey, we're now offering our opportunities online. And so I was able to just kind of pull it up online, and the first thing that came up was Door County, Wisconsin. It wasn't called Door of Life at the time, but just Door County, Wisconsin, a group that was interested in pioneering a new work. It was like, wow, praise God. And all of a sudden, that thing happens. But what happens is there's a time to act, and you're going to be going in that direction. And as you're going, you're listening, and you're following peace, and you're avoiding the pressure of people. Listen to people. Listen to what they have to say, and then listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying about what they're saying. And then when you do that, then you can act on that. It's like we say even on Sunday morning at church. There's the sermon I'm preaching, but there's the sermon the Holy Spirit's preaching in your heart that's between you and him. That's the second sermon of the Holy Spirit. And that's the way you got to kind of take it, as people are giving you some guidance. There's a second sermon. The Holy Spirit has been sent to lead and guide you into all truth. Even if somebody's 100% right, the reason why you act on it is because the Holy Spirit bears witness. They got it right. Not because they're so great, but the Holy Spirit bore witness. That's right. Listen to that. That's what's important. Paul stayed tuned in, and that's why he never got off and missed. And then finally, there's the time to stand. This is an important one, because here's another kind of timing that you got to deal with. A lot of times, when it comes to time to stand, take a look at Abraham. Abraham, who contrary to hope and hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what is spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, or the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced, persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. This is a very important component of timing too, because there is stuff, promises in the Word of God, that you're believing. It says, I know, I'm believing God. I'm believing God for healing. I'm believing God for finances. I'm believing God for that special person. I'm believing God to know when this thing should break. Do I confront this thing? You know, when should I be doing some things? I'm waiting for God to do his thing. Waiting for God. God, when is this going to happen? This is another kind of waiting. And we're talking about this kind of waiting, this timing. There is a timing that we have that we just simply call the time to stand, that you are going to stand there for as you're waiting for things to happen. This is kind of a waiting. You kind of almost be like, you know, the little kid in the back seat of the car on that long family vacation trip, and he's kicking the front seat saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Timing. And you can feel that timing when it comes to believing God for stuff. God, I prayed about this last week, last month, 3 years ago. When is it going to happen? This is the kind of timing that you got to be aware of too. That God is aware of that time. God is aware of the timing that he is going to be bringing some things to pass in your life, some things to pass in your heart. But you see here that Abraham says, being fully persuaded. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. But this is the thing that you got to realize about Abraham. Abraham did not start out fully persuaded. You read the story of Abraham. They pulled some shenanigans trying to help God out. They did some things trying to perform what God had promised in their own strength. But they got to the place where they became fully persuaded. And when you're standing for some things, it's not just that you're just waiting on that on God in that sense. God is doing something in you. He's working in you a fully persuadedness on the inside of you. In fact, this is one of Abraham's, he was Abram at the time, it's one of his shenanigans. He said, oh, sovereign Lord, what good are your blessings when I don't have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant of my household, will inherit all my wealth. He doesn't have any children. You've given me no descendants of my own, so one of my own servants will be my heir. Then the Lord said to him, no. So he's thinking, maybe God's going to do it through Eleazar. You know, we're related, so that's how the promise is going to happen. He said, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir, of your own body. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up at the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. He's struggling with his faith. He didn't start out fully persuaded, but he's got that promise. He's got that Ephesians 2:10 thing. He's got that thing, the promises of God that he's standing on. And he wants to figure out a plan B to make God look good and make this all work out. And God said, no, look up at the stars. That's how many descendants that you're going to have. What was God doing? When you're standing in that time to stand, God was helping him. In fact, the scripture puts it this way. It says, who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Maybe you've been waiting for some things. Maybe it's for a healing. Maybe it's for a financial breakthrough. Maybe it's for wisdom to know what to do and how to act. And you're waiting on that thing. You're waiting from God. You're waiting from God for a certain answer or something like that. You got to realize that he knows, he understands, and he works with you. He works with you to make you stand when you're standing on those promises. He gets it. He knows it. And a lot of times, you know, you hear this all the time. God's time and our time are not the same thing. You know, it's like the guy who was chatting with the Lord one day, and he said, Lord, is it true that 100 years is just like a minute for you? I said, yeah, that's true, son. And that $1 million is just like a penny for you? I said, yeah. Oh, Father, could I have a penny? I said, sure, son, just wait a minute. You may feel like you've been standing for a while, but when you translate it into God's time, it's just a few minutes. You know, when God told me 7 years before I move you out, 7 years, it's a few minutes. You know, a lot of times these timing and things, but at the end of that, the end of that time, praise God, this is what we see Abraham discovered. We desire that each one of you show the same diligence of full assurance of hope until the end, that you don't become sluggish. It's tempting to become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. There is a patient endurance. This isn't drive-through blessings. You're doing things in God's way. This is a New Testament exhortation for us believers to be patient, to inherit those promises, because there's a work that's being done in your heart. I mean, there came a time when, you know, Abraham and Sarah went through that whole process. By the time they got to the end, one of the last things that happened in their journey is when Sarah was taken, you know, by a king. And when that happened, God closed the wombs of all the women. And then when the king was ignorant, he didn't realize that. He had no relationship with her, but then the Lord rebuked him, and he gave Abram back his wife, Sarah. And then when Abraham prayed, the wombs were opened. That's an interesting thing to think that was the last thing that happened. Like, wow, he can close wombs and he can open wombs. And it was right after that. She had that, you know, she had the visitation, people came, and she got pregnant. But you understand, there's a journey sometimes where you're getting fully persuaded. So when you're talking about timing, when are you going to do this, Lord? Realize he loves you, he's working with you, and he's making you stand. He might take you by the hand and show you some stars. He might do some things in your heart, but realize that he hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't given up on you. That through faith and patience, you're going to inherit those promises. All right? He'll guide you. And the cool thing about that is, you know, when you're done, you don't just have what you believe. Man, you have experience. I stood and I got something. You know why David was so strong against Goliath? Because he fought the lion and he fought the bear. Experience produces hope, and hope makes not ashamed. I can take down Goliath because I've got an experience with a lion. I've got an experience with a bear. It wasn't my muscles that beat the lion or the bear. There was something of the power of God that caused me to beat the lion and the bear. That's why this uncircumcised Philistine will be no different. There's experience you get here when you hold on to your faith. You know, it's not just that your healing is a big deal in the big spectrum to God. It's what you're going to the devil as far as him fighting you over it. But it's what you do with that victory. That victory can light up a world with a testimony and inspire faith in other people. So God's perfect timing. There's not a one-size-fits-all answer here. You got to kind of decide, what is it that I'm looking at the timing for? A time to prepare. Has God shown you some things to come? There's going to be a preparation time. And when it's time, he'll witness. And when it's time, he'll exalt you in due season. He'll give you that enabling. It could be a witness. It could be a word. And not only that, when you get that witness, then there's going to be a time to decide. He's working in you to will and to do. He's going to have you take some steps of faith in that direction. You might know exactly that can happen sometimes, but a lot of times you're taking some steps, you know, that Asia and the Bithynia, and then all of a sudden, oh, it's Macedonia, and I see that it's Macedonia. Praise God. But he was going. So there's going to be some steps that you take. You may be researching some stuff online. You may be looking some stuff in that direction for the Spirit to bear witness to or not bear witness to. And again, just remember in that, the Holy Spirit has not been sent to give you all green lights. There's going to be red and green there, and that's good. That's healthy. And it's just learning to navigate that. Not the pressure of people, but the peace of God that you're going to follow there. And then finally, there's a time to stand. There's a time that you are waiting on God, and as you're waiting, you're also listening, and you're seeing the stars. You're letting him encourage you. You might go back over some scriptures and things like that. But man, God's timing is right, and you just let him cause you to get fully persuaded in some things. Praise God, and you'll grow in your faith, and he will get you what you need at the right time. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus just for your timing, Lord, that you understand, you know us, completely. You know the number of hairs on our head, Lord. Help us to just rest in that, to know that you know, Lord, and to realize that you are here by the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us into all truth. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the good works you've ordained me to walk in. Help me to prepare myself. Show me what you want me to do to prepare for those good works. And I'll be listening for your enabling, for your witness, for your go. And when I hear that, Lord, I'm going to go. I'm going to make steps in that direction as I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. And you're going to guide me, Holy Spirit. You're going to give me red lights when I need to stop, and green lights when I need to go forward. Thank you for guiding me. I trust you, Jesus. You are going to bring to pass every promise. Every promise in you is yes and amen. Show me those stars. Make me stand. Keep me steady. And through faith and patience, I will receive right on time every one of your blessings. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. I know that there's a lot of questions and things that we deal with, things that we're trying to navigate, but boy, just be encouraged. The Holy Spirit, he's just there. He's with you. Never leave you, never forsake you in all these different contexts of life. He's right there to get you right where you need at the right time. Amen. Praise God.